Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus, and I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malstein. And today we're talking about Paris, the memoir by Paris Hilton.
Initial reactions, I'm shocked at how much I'm getting out of the book.
Yeah, I know. It's very uplifting in a really weird way that I was not expecting.
Yeah.
And it also kind of, you do see, she kind of gives it away, her secret sauce. She gives it away when she's talking about Elliot Mintz, the legendary publicist who I did not realize she had such a close family relationship with him. She talks about what his motto was. It was, I clean up what gets tainted and magnify what glows. Mm. So I think what Paris has done with this book is literally exactly that. I mean, she is really glossing over some of the, you know, scandals that she's been through. She's kind of just saying, I'm not ashamed. I've grown as a person. And she's just talking about her side of the story for the stuff where her side of the story does make her look better.
Yeah.
And she's bigging up her successes. And I mean, what else would you do in a memoir? I mean, you know, this is why, as I always say, we also need unauthorized biographies.
Yeah, totally.
If you only read this, you would have a very different view of her like public life than what maybe is the reality.
Speaking of which, last year we read House of Hilton. And what you texted this morning, so you said actually all of a sudden House of Hilton's out of print. So
yeah.
That is where, like, and that's an unauthorized, somebody else came in and wrote this book about them. So yeah, I want to know what you think about why now it's all of a sudden out of print. And like, yeah, like what, I'm not clear about why, like how that would have happened or why that would have happened, because now this book has been released.
So basically this book, it's by, I think his name's Richard Oppenheimer,
yes.
House of Hilton. It's like a full on breaking expose about the Hilton family and the Avanzino Richards Catane Dugan family, which is Kim, Kyle, and Kathy's mom, Big Kathy. So the big revelation in that book was that Big Kathy, she comes across as kind of a monster. His claims are that all she cared about was money and fame for her right. daughters. She started putting them to work at a very young age so that she herself wouldn't have to work. She just kind of collected husbands, moving up in the world with each marriage.
Hence all the last names.
Hence all the last names. And I mean, you know, honestly, when you read it, there's definitely a bias of sexism in it. There's a lot of sexist tropes and stereotypes that come out, and you kind of read it like, oh my God, come on. Like, who could really be this cruel? One of the things he alleges that she did, one of her husbands, she hated her mother-in-law, his mother, so much that she fed her dog food and laughed about it to the stepdaughter.
It's definitely a flex of some kind.
Yeah. Another one was she had a stepdaughter in one of her marriages that she hated so much, she made her a hamburger and put a screw inside of it so that her teeth would get messed up.
Oh, what? It's very like sort of like a Dahmer light, where it's like he would try to like get the ladies to like eat the bodies. Like he tried to get the neighbor in the show to eat the body too. It's like, she's sort of like, I don't know, to fuck with people through food is like,
it's weird.
It's really like, it's just really dark. It's like,
it's evil. Yeah.
It is evil. And it's just, yeah. Like from as like Big Kathy, like the matriarch of this family, like you, like the one thing you would trust is like, okay, like mommy, kitchen, home, feeding. It's like to hit people, it's like really like, whoa, you're really like, talk about like just taking advantage of whatever power you can.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stories like that in it. And, you know, you see glimpses of this cruelty in the Richards sisters in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, famously in season one, when the first episode that Brandi Glanville ever appeared in, when Kim and Kyle meet her, they immediately don't like her. And she's on crutches because she had a leg injury at that time. And at one point, to fuck with her, Kim hides her crutches. Is that the meanest thing you've ever heard?
It's, and then specifically she goes, fucked up. It's like,
yeah. And then she goes over to Kyle and she's like, I hid her crutches. And Kyle starts laughing her ass off. And you're just like, oh my God, that is cruel.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Real Housewives.
And also, side note, just also the fact that they're doing this on TV means that they don't think it looks bad.
Right.
Like they're actually raised in a way where it's like, ha 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 ha, like you got her, you like you hurt your nemesis in a backhanded, you know, like like sneaky way to really hurt them where it hurts when they're already hurt. Kick them when they're down, yay, high five, good job kiddo. It's like do it behind closed doors where no, to have no shame about being a bully is like, what?
I know. And I think they did kind of, they started to cover things up more as they like, because that was one of the bald faced evil things that they did, and you don't really see much of that kind of activity again. Another thing that's not really totally Big Kathy-esque but sort of on the line, Kim later gets a pit bull that attacks several people, at least four people, and while these people that are attacked four separate incidents, the legal documents say that more than one of these people, while they were lying on the ground like bleeding out, Kim is saying to them, I won't call 911 unless you swear to say it was a stray dog.
What? Wait. While they were bleeding out, I just want everybody to take that in for a minute.
Lying there with massive injuries to the groin, leg, like huge issues, scars that will last forever. One of the people that the dog bit was Kyle's daughter. And they talk about it at a reunion and Kim takes no accountability. And she's like, she's like, if I told the whole story, people would see it differently. And it's like, girl, no, there's no whole story where your dog gets to repeatedly attack people and it's the people's fault. Like,
I mean, that's, and not only that, not only the people's fault, but you're asking the people to choose whether or not they will actually be helped.
Right.
Or tell the truth about how they were injured.
It's like, one of them was in their 80s.
No.
An 80-year-old woman bleeding and Kim is like, listen, you have to say it was a stray dog or else I'm not calling 911.
That's very, very dark. That's like,
yeah.
Well, and actually, speaking of which, though, I do think one of the things about the part one and two that I found interesting is that, so Paris, like, we kind of know the story. She was in these, we also the doc, you know, she was in these child abuse schools.
Yeah.
And when she got out and when she called anybody that she could for help, she called Kim. She called Kyle and it basically, she was like, come get me now. And Kyle's like, okay, sweetie. And then it's like, she called her again. Obviously she was still at home. She wasn't on her way. And then she basically was sent back to the, you know, prison camp or whatever. And it's just interesting, like to be in this family and to like, one of the things I got out of the book was how like Paris literally had no one to call for help. Like,
I know, but also like in Kyle's defense, everyone in the family at that point has been brainwashed into thinking that Paris is a troubled child and she's been sent to military school, basically female equivalent, because you don't really send girls to military school. Like, I mean, what would you do? We would all love to think with the benefit of hindsight that we would go and pick her up from the side of the road. But in reality, you would call her mom.
It seems like they called the cops. It seems like she had her picked up.
She called her mom and her mom
back to the place.
She called Kathy and Kathy called the cops. So the thing about the book, I also want to say, and we'll get back to this later, you can see how Kathy took the complete opposite. She took the trauma from her upbringing and took the opposite approach with her daughters, which is, I will control you completely and you will do everything completely by the book, to equally disastrous effect in Paris's case. In Nikki's case, it worked out, but Paris and the sons all have arrest records, you know, like it just clearly was an overcorrection, but we'll get more into that later. So what happened with the Hilton book? So it's got all these details about Big Kathy. That's what they call her. Kathy Hilton, Kyle and Kim's mom. And you know, what happens when you have a book like this is the publisher has to basically make a gamble and say, do we trust this author and their sources enough that this book will hold up in court? Because, you know, the Hiltons have a lot of money. They have a lot of lawyers and they could try to sue for defamation if they want to.
Right.
So during the time that the book was published, obviously the publishers said, you know what? We're happy with this. We're happy with this guy's work. We think it's trustworthy. And we think, because you can't defame someone by speaking the truth legally. If something is true, you're allowed to say it. So you cannot get, I mean, you can get sued for anything, but you're not going to have to pay damages if you can prove that what you said is true.
Right.
And that you looked into it and made sure it was true to the best of your ability. So at the time that it was published, which was, I guess, in the early 2000s, maybe mid 2000s, clearly the publishing house had said, you know what, we feel good about this. Let's let her rip. So now you can no longer buy it on Amazon. Like the paperback price is like $800 or something because it's only like used copies. So by the way, if you want to know what's in it, I'm going to repost our old episode this week because we have an episode where we go through it and kind of take apart all the different claims. Maybe we should do a follow-up with more stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of search about it. But so here's what I would assume happened. Like just assuming it's the most simple explanation possible. I think that the former print, whatever the most recent reprint was, ended and they all sold out. And I think the Hiltons and Richardses and everybody else, they have probably continued to try to put legal pressure on this publishing house to not publish. And I think they probably finally found a way in that was actually viable. So the publisher probably said to themselves, you know what? It's actually not worth the risk if we do a reprint. And probably what happened was the Hilton's lawyers said, look, if you do another reprint, we are going to pursue this avenue of whatever thing we found that's false that we can get you on.
It's Avenue Zeno.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But if you just don't do another reprint, this will all go away. That's what I would imagine. That's the most plausible. But
like, what about like Kindle? Like, can you still get it? Is the Kindle $800?
Yeah, we still own it.
Wow.
You can't buy it on Kindle anymore.
Wow. Yeah. Like, so basically I guess it's like, so it's connected to the Paris memoir coming out because they want that to be the.
Well, no, I think it's probably a coincidence because.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think they yanked it from shelves at Kathy Hilton's lawyer's demand because that's a huge demand and you would have to have a massive smoking gun. I think they've had a little bit of a smoking gun for a while. So they just decided to allow the printing to lapse. They just stopped printing it and stopped selling it.
But
they
read it at just the right time.
I know. And then here's the other piece of evidence that it was not yanked off the shelves. The author Oppenheimer, he just wrote an op-ed for the New York Post where he basically rehashed all of the most scandalous claims from the book in the New York Post. So
an op-ed Oppenheimer.
It doesn't work.
It's another Avanzino. No. Trying to make it work. But okay.
Oppenheimer, so, I guess.
Oppenheimer. That's what I was
going. So, okay. What that tells us is Oppenheimer and the New York Post lawyers feel confident enough in these claims that they're not going to get sued. So either the publisher was being overly cautious and Oppenheimer is like, fuck you guys. I still need to make money off this reporting. I'm writing an op-ed for the Post. Or, you know, it's like, maybe he's trying to build demand because it's very easy to imagine
that
no one's buying this book anymore. And that's why they didn't renew the printing on it. So he could be trying to create demand for it and maybe it'll come back. So hopefully it'll come back. It is a good book. It is, like I said, I find it pretty sexist and a lot of the claims are pretty ridiculous. Like one of the things is like all these girls were at their house all the time.
Right.
And he kind of tries to turn that into a claim that the house was like a brothel. And it's like, no, it's called having daughters with friends.
Right. Right. And like being just like home base.
Yeah, there are a few things in there where you're just like, dude, come on. But yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree.
Interesting publishing world drama that goes along with this book. So yeah, we both loved the book, right? Paris is an Aquarius. She's a massive, massive Aquarius, I would say. Can you tell us what her big three are?
So she actually says, like, I think in the first chapter, like one of the first parts, she says, I'm a Sag rising Aquarius sun, Leo moon. She knows that she was born on the full moon. I thought it was interesting too. She referenced the moon a few times in the book, where she, like at one point she was thinking about running away from one of these schools. And she was talking about how like she couldn't decide whether she wanted to go when there was a full moon and the light was being illuminated, like the dark was being illuminated, mm-hmm. or she wanted to go in the, but then she said ultimately she was afraid to go when it was like dark moon, because the illumination actually made her feel safe, which I think is just kind of interesting. She was born on a full moon. So she's an Aquarius sun, Leo moon, Sag rising. I think it's no surprise that she was friends with Britney Spears. They're highly compatible with a lot of Sag and Aquarius energy. I think Paris is like the poster child. Like her chart is perfect for her, because it's like, yeah, she comes across, even if she's coming across as like a bimbo, she's like an expert bimbo. She's known as a runner, known to be running away, known to be, that is so Sagittarius, like to be known as this kid's a runner, this kid's wild. I mean, that really is. Where did she find her happy place? Being one of the amoebas on a dance floor, just getting into the rhythm of the music. That's like so Aquarius sun. And Leo moon, all she's really trying to do is like express herself and how frustrating it is that nobody is believing what she's saying. I mean, that must have been so painful. Like thinking about her chart, thinking about a Leo moon not being listened to is like,
ugh. And it happens over and over and over again. It starts with her when she's a little kid, just being like, so we were talking about Big Kathy and her parenting style. It seems like the Kathy Hilton, she just was tried to be kind of a drill sergeant with her kids instead of like Big Kathy, who was like, ooh, we're going to find this alternate route to success and fame that no one else has thought of. And it's called making you all child stars. And then that's going to put you in front of rich guys. And then you're going to get these rich guys and blah, blah, blah. And Big Kathy's like, she's going for the same goal of her daughter's marrying rich.
Right.
But she's going about it in the tale as old as time, socially acceptable way of like, oh, you're going to an Ivy, you're going to boarding school, and Nikki married a Rothschild.
Right. So Nikki is the poster child for what Kathy was going for.
Yeah, exactly. When you're reading the book, it's like she offers a lot of kind of professional and self-actualization advice. And it's all really good and it's all really kind of common sense, but you also kind of want to just be like, Paris, you literally got this career because you opted into it. Like you didn't have to,
right.
You know, like, and the thing that she had that most people don't have is a hook, and her hook is I'm the Hilton heiress.
Paris Hilton. Right.
If she didn't have that, she'd be like Farrah Abraham. You know what I mean? Like, it's
you're
true.
Right,
like,
though. You're right. You're totally right.
If you want to be famous for being famous, if you want to be just and I also love how she spun. Oh my God, she's such an Aquarius. She spun her goal, which was worldwide adoration and fame, which is fine. I mean, same. But like she spins it into this altruistic thing of like, I want to help business owners by promoting their product. Like, shut up.
I know.
Come on. But anyway, if you want to be that and you're just a regular person without a famous last name or without money, you really have to get there by debasing yourself.
And
even Paris and Kim had to sort of like, there was some debasement along the way.
Ultimate debasement.
Yeah. So like, I mean, okay. I have to say, I like her. I've met her. I interviewed her at her house actually.
Wow.
And she is so nice. She knows where her bread is buttered. She's nice to journalists and she was super chill and super cool.
Cool.
But like, there's no denying obviously the privilege. I'm trying to find this quote where she's like, okay, fine. I'll be honest. Like I had a lot of money. I had this and this, but I still had to work. And it's
okay. So did Kendall Jenner.
I know. It's, you just kind of want to be like, you can pat yourself on the back for your acumen and the way that you did create, she did create a new type of celebrity. She absolutely did. And so did Kim Kardashian, but like neither of them would have done it without their famous last names. Like if Kim Kardashian didn't have the Robert Kardashian, OJ Simpson connection, nothing. If Paris didn't have the Hilton connection, nothing. So it's like, it's a lot of echoes of Prince Harry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She did transcend.
Yes.
Like she did. That is hard. Like, especially at that time.
That's true. Because,
yeah, like she wasn't really going to take off with acting, even though she did a little. She wasn't going to take off with singing, even though she did a little. But like, and doing The Simple Life was a stroke of genius. Like she made some really, really smart decisions. And she, you know, she does work, but like her idea of working is like going on a private jet to a DJ set and, right. or, and then like going on another private jet to a photo shoot and then like maybe a first class flight to the next photo shoot. And it's like, okay, like, yes, you are working a lot. You really are. I'm not trying to say that you're not, but like, so is everyone else. And we're all still broke.
Well, right. The conditions are pretty good despite how busy it is. Like much easier to nap on your private jet than it is in economy. There are two things that I found really inspiring about it. I love that the whole like prologue is like, for the record, this is a book about ADD. And
no.
I, even in reading it, and then she was talking about how she's been sort of like medication fluid her whole life, which I also have, and how...
Wait, what's medication fluid?
I think that's how she put it. Basically just like sometimes, like just like sometimes on, sometimes off, trying to figure out how to work with this different like operating system basically. But it was really empowering. The whole like prologue is like it's your superpower, it's my superpower, but it was also sort of like, and for the record, if the book takes these like twists and turns, like I almost in reading it, I felt really seen, I felt like there was permission for trying to figure out how to work with yourself. And also I liked the way that she phrased, like I sort of felt like, oh, that makes sense why I love astrology so much, because like she kind of talks about how something in the ADD brain is that like, because it's non-linear, you see that like the past and the future and the present are sort of this like one timeline, once like everything does come around, seeds are planted and then you veer off the course, but then it's like, you know, every door ends up coming around and getting closed. It's like Harold vibes. And I was like, yeah, I relate to her like school experience where she's like just isn't for me, like I don't learn this way. And like, and I just appreciated so much that she just normalized ADHD in women, still struggles with it. And I actually find the book to be really easy to read, I think, because it's so nonlinear. I love that she's throwing recipes in the middle of shit. I love that she's connecting the dots from before and now, because that's actually how my brain works too. This is circular.
Yeah. So my reaction was so like non-self-actualized. I had a very like shadow self reaction. Ooh. When I read the intro where she really is talking about having ADHD a lot, and she mentions it so many times, I was like, oh God, she's one of these people that makes ADHD her whole entire personality. That was my first thought. And then I was like, okay, but like I have ADHD.
Yeah, you do. Like you're actually allowed to like claim it too.
Right. So it's like, so oh my God, imagine if I, instead of ignoring it,
right,
also leaned into it and was like, okay, maybe this is my entire personality and like I can figure out how to work with it. So that was really, really eye-opening for me too, because just the fact that I had an eye roll experience at first, and then my second thought was like, no, first of all, you're being a bitch. And second of all, this could be helpful. Like,
actually you're being a bitch more than anything to yourself.
Yeah, because exactly.
Because that self-denial is like you think you're like kind of being judgy of her, but you're not. You're actually going like, it's like, no, Molly, like the part of you that's been like, no, Molly, there's nothing fucking wrong with you. Just like shut up and do the work and like figure it out. You know, it's like, no, that's what I thought. It's so cool that I felt so like, I felt that there was the stigma lifted from my, and the other thing too, that I felt was stigma lifting was when she was talking about how she was like, I'm going to make like $100 million or whatever it was that she decided. And there were just a few comments that, and I've been having a lot of like breakthroughs recently about my own shadow side too, where like I've been just in denial about a lot of shit. And like, when she said, like, there was a line where she basically was like, just because like I have nothing now and, you know, I'll have nothing, but like, there was just something along the lines of like, I'm allowed to want what I had growing up and I'm going to create it for myself, but I'm allowed to want, allowed to want my own money and I want that kind of freedom and I'm allowed to make it myself and I'm allowed to expect that kind of money because I know that it's possible and it's possible for me too, even if I don't feel that I have that kind of power right now. Now the numbers don't even go there. It's different worlds that we live in, but like, you know, I don't know. I just felt like, I don't know. There's this part of me that was like, oh yeah. Like you used to say the Four Seasons, like, why am I pretending that like I didn't like, and that it's just so far away from me. Like it's I'll never have the life that my parents gave me. And it's like, that's not true. Like I'm allowed to want nice shit. I'm allowed to want my life back. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Like that was really helpful for me.
Yeah. I also found myself getting angry at her when she keeps getting kicked out of all these schools because I'm like, you know what's coming. You know, she's getting sent to the fucking abuse camps. Yeah. And she keeps getting into these schools and each one sounds easier than the last, but she still keeps, no, seriously, she even got into like a professional children's school. Like, come on, that's perfect for her.
I know. Yeah, she should have thrived there, actually. You're correct.
Because she still gets kicked out and it's because she keeps skipping class. And I was like, girl, what the fuck? What are you doing? Go to class. And then I remembered I almost didn't graduate because I skipped so much class senior year.
Dude.
I had one more day left of absence before, and they couldn't have done it in good conscience because, like, luckily for me, performance wise, unluckily for me, diagnosis wise, not only do I have ADHD, but I also am like I was gifted and talented when I was little, and I'm like very hyper verbal and I test really well. That's my thing. Whenever people are like, I try so hard at school, but I don't test well. I'm like, oh really? Cause I got one wrong on the verbal SATs and I was like mostly a B and C student because I didn't give a fuck, but I knew that I was smart enough to test well. So I didn't go to school a lot. I was just like, this is fucking stupid. Like I'm going to get into college. Thank God my parents couldn't afford the abuse school. Thank fucking God. You know, like all my parents could do was be like, you better go to school, Molly,
right.
Or else.
Really, right. There was no actual threat. Right. Who fucking knew? I'm not going to school. I feel like, for us to be reading this memoir from this woman who, for all intents and purposes, has nothing in common with us, is just this rich girl. I'm shocked at how human she is. And how much good work that she's been doing to try to just communicate what's going on. The whole thing is about her just trying to be understood. And so she did have to understand herself first. And I get the sense that she did. And she has.
I don't know because, you said the same thing about Harry and I also disagreed. I don't know if she's been doing work. I don't think I think she's getting older and more mature and it's making her a better person. She's not going around calling people fire crotch to the paparazzi anymore. You know, she's not saying the N-word, but I think it's really just kind of a byproduct of getting older.
Maybe.
But like, I don't know. I think she was always self-actualized just by virtue of being that rich kid whose parents instilled in her a confidence of, like she says at one point, like, about the school, the people that are torturing her at the school, like I still knew I was a Hilton and they couldn't take that away from me. Like that's really that's snobby, but like,
but also I think that's honest. Like I think holding on to that, my version would just be like, I'm still funny no matter what, you know?
Right. And like she's deriving this still to this day, deriving value from this legacy. And like, why not? I mean, we should all be proud of our parents and grandparents, maybe not the one that beat Elizabeth Taylor for a week straight on their honeymoon and then they had to get a divorce, which she does give a little mention to. I was like, that is ballsy. I'm sorry. That's like, love her. I think she's great. But if a person who's been doing the work is going to keep Elizabeth Taylor's name
out of
her mouth because, okay, let me then go and Google, why did Elizabeth Taylor and Baron Hilton break up? Oh fuck, because he abused the shit out of her. And Paris Hilton is like so proud, and it's like,
I don't know, I felt like she really displayed a huge amount of forgiveness. Like Harry's book is missing forgiveness a little bit. Harry's book doesn't seem to really have any sort of, it's almost like a first draft of like, okay, I'll finally say it, here's my emotional experience. Whereas I felt that Paris, at least the timing of this, is she waited until she was at a point where there's just a lot. I found her to be incredibly just gracious and forgiving of everybody. She doesn't come across as angry. She doesn't come across as like holding on to shit. She comes across as like, so when I say process, it's not like, I'm not necessarily saying she's done the journal workbooks about like, you know, what color is my parachute, but like, I do think that she's really had to, like, to move out of the anger and blame phase into the, I'm looking at it from, it's very Aquarian, like I'm looking at it from this higher perspective lens, I think is maybe, and maybe it is just aging, but
I think you might be giving her a little too much credit, because I don't think she ever had the anger or blame phase with her parents. I think that she has had to construct a reality for herself where her parents are not at fault for this whatsoever, because what if the opposite was true? Then she would have to do some real serious, like, and I mean, yeah, her parents were lied to, but I mean, at the end of the first half, she doesn't say, but we learn from what she does say that the only reason her parents took her out of that school a little early is because she said to her dad, if you don't get me out of here, I'm going to the Wall Street Journal and telling them everything.
Right.
And she slips that nugget in there.
Yeah.
Connect it. She doesn't say, and then they freed me. She lets it go another couple paragraphs. And then she's like, oh, and then my parents, they came and got me a month early. And it's like, yeah, because you finally learned how to hit your parents where it hurts, which is the family legacy.
Right.
And if you went to the press and told them that, it would ruin everything. So like, she knows that. And like, she's
smart though, man. Either way. Yeah. I just like her. Like, I think she's smart.
I know.
Cool,
she's smart, and I don't blame her for keeping the truth at an arm's length, which is that her parents were complicit in it, whether they knew or not. I mean,
they put her there.
It takes a fucking ice cold bitch to hear your child call you on the phone sobbing multiple times and call the police to pick them up. I mean,
that's where Pisces, we know that Kathy Hilton's a Pisces, mm-hmm. and we know that I believe I remember correctly, she's a Pisces sun, Aries moon, right? Either way, Pisces is so interesting because on the one hand, it is the sign of like highest love, like all encompassing sort of like grandma energy, like the most spiritual. But on the other hand, it's also like, it's like so encompassing of everything that like, it includes like abuse and it includes being able to turn a blind eye. And it includes sort of the fantasy reality of whatever you want to tell yourself is going on and not wanting to like see like what you don't feel is convenient for you to like actually recognize, which sort of is what Kathy Hilton did. She's I actually can't go there with you, Paris. Like that's like the vibe. It's like, oh, I can't do this with you again. And it's like, oh my God, like mom.
It's really easy to Monday morning quarterback her parenting or anyone's parenting for that matter. But like, I mean, I'm not saying that any parent, boomer parent in the 90s would have been capable of this, but the move was, why is my kid skipping school? Because she wants to go to raves. Okay, let's teach her how to play music. Let's teach her how to make clothes. Like, let's go deeper into
Lean into her strengths.
This clear passion that she has. But again, like I said, I mean, that's so beyond so many, especially when you have Kathy Hilton, little Kathy has her own trauma from growing up.
Well, that's right.
She's terrified that none of the Richards Hilton sisters finished college. Actually, Kathy might have been the only one, but like they did not have orthodox normal upbringings and they all resent that. You can hear them. They all talk about it. They're like, I can't believe I did my schooling on a Hollywood set. And like Kathy just thought so desperately that if she could get her girls to have the most conventional upbringing possible, they would be happy. But she just didn't see what her daughter actually wanted or needed, which was a creative outlet. And here's the other thing. Having blinders on when it comes to your parents is also something that runs in this family because.
Right. Oh, wow.
If you watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the way they talk about their mother, oh my God, she's like June Cleaver. It's like she was the best woman alive. She would like nothing was wrong. And I don't think Paris is hiding anything when she talks about her grandma in these glowing tones, because I also had my grandma on my mom's side was very cruel to my mom and her siblings. And she wasn't like as bad with her grandkids. It's just the way it goes.
Yep.
But like, yeah, I think they've seen it from their parents and they're going to keep doing it. And I absolutely do not blame Paris whatsoever for not wanting to confront her parents' part in this.
That story where she was escaping from the airport and she kicked the door into the like care. I mean, she is resourceful, money aside. This bitch is ready for what's the like combat, like sensory. It's like she's actually like surveying every scene and makes use of whatever she can.
Yeah, she's like
provides like survival for herself.
She's like the hallway fight scene of Old Boy. Like where he's just going down the hallway, beating the shit out of every single person. And you're just like, oh, where the hell did that come from?
And yeah. She's a little a skinny under malnourished teenage girl. It's like, wow, what like inner strength? Like,
yeah.
I was shocked that she would like, I just was shocked that she was so strong, like objectively strong.
Yeah.
And fearless.
Absolutely. Let's go through some of the quotes that we've highlighted. She talks about in very early how she was never that into coke and she tried it, but she said, most women who did coke back in the 90s looked beat by the mid aughts. I won't say I never tried it, but I wasn't about to sacrifice my complexion for it. Same with cigarettes. You may as well hit yourself in the face with a shovel.
No, that hit me hard. That hit me hard. It's bad for my skin for sure.
It's bad for your skin and your lungs. Hello.
Yeah. It's not healthy. It's not a healthy habit.
So then she lays out the rules of the family, which are, I mean, this is such a giveaway as well, because this applies to what I'm saying about the way that she sort of slips in these nuggets about how she knows that her parents fucked up. But she says, if you don't talk about a thing, it's not a problem. If you hide how deeply something hurt you, it didn't happen. So she's hiding the hurt that her parents caused her and pretending it's only the school's fault. If you pretend not to notice how deeply you hurt someone else, you don't have to feel bad about it. And you can see that when she kind of is like, later on, she glosses over all her like N-word scandals and everything, just being like, oh, well, you know, I was used to that school where you do this, this, and this. And it's like, okay.
Still, it makes you still not nice.
Yeah. You're still not supposed to say the N-word. Like, I don't
really
know.
It's good to do. Yeah.
Yeah, like, were they really dropping N-bombs in that school?
Actually, I think they probably were, but, like, that's, we'll get there. There's, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah. Okay, so this is another little nugget that you could take as a little dig against Kathy, but I'm not sure. She says, I had no clue how much silly energy she had, meaning Kathy Hilton, bottled up inside her until she signed on to do The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in 2021. It was like somebody popped a cork on a bottle of pink champagne. Now, this is really, like, this is a real gift to fans of the show, because she came onto the show and acted like this huge ditz. And so many people were obsessed with it. And it just, I mean, I'm sorry, it came across so fake to me. Her big line in the first episode was, someone said, we can't pretend everything's hunky dory. And she goes, who is hunky dory?
Well, how fucking interesting though, actually putting this together, which is like, yeah, she was taking a page from her daughter's playbook and she was like, oh, I'll just try Dumb Blonde too.
Yeah. And so hunky dory makes an appearance in this book, Paris Says It, which I was like, I wonder if that's also intentional. Cause I do
absolutely intentional. Yeah.
And then in earlier seasons of Beverly Hills, Kim and Kyle say it. So it's like, hunky dory is a thing that is said in this family. Like, she knows what hunky dory is. She knows it's a figure of speech, but like, also just to say, I had no idea my mom had so much silly energy. It's like, oh, really? Your mom wasn't silly with you? Like, okay.
That's and also like, it's also pretty silly to pretend you don't like epitome of silly is being like, oh, it's hunky dory. Like, that's fucking silly if you obviously know what hunky dory means.
Yeah. Yeah. She has this
silly.
Yeah. She has this line that I really liked, and it wasn't like me to like this, cause it's a little bit, it's very much like, quotes wrongly attributed to Marilyn Monroe on the internet kind of thing, but yeah. I liked it. She said, true sophistication is the ability to fit in anywhere because you have a broad understanding of and respect for all kinds of people.
Now that's a real Aquarius. That's a real Aquarius statement.
Yes. That is
that's Aquarius.
Aquarius take.
Yep.
That's so true. That's so true. So here's one part where she talks about her legacy. We understood that our family name carried weight and drew attention. We had a certain place in society, which came with certain expectations. I think this is a really good outlook for rich people, because I think they should feel guilty. They should feel the weight of society on their shoulders.
Yes.
They should feel.
You have a huge responsibility. If you're going to have all the money, you have to do something with it. That's helpful to others.
Exactly. So I like that. I think rich people like rich people think they're better than us, whether or not they have this idea. So
100%.
We might as well add a little bit of like burden to it, you know?
Could not agree more.
She says that when she was skipping school to go to, she spells her cousin Farah's name wrong so many times.
You think that's intentional?
No, but I think it's funny.
Oh fuck. Housekeeping's here. Cassie didn't hear it.
Oh, just tell them 10 more minutes. Paris goes into this little mini monologue that is something I've said a million times before, which is, it's not fair to call models stupid because they're actually just like 19.
I know, right? At the very beginning, right? She was like, you all need to have grace for the models. Everyone thinks models are like idiot partiers, but actually they're kids.
Yeah, they literally are. Like when I worked at like a job I used to work at, there was models around all the time. And like, yeah, they were dumb as shit. But like then I was
like 19.
She's a child. Like she's literally a child. And it made me even more angry that like grown men prey on them and bring and like, you know, act like they're going to wine them and dine them and show them the world and probably like laugh at them behind their backs, how stupid they are. And it's like, no, but you're like preying on toddlers. Like these girls are literally 19.
I was watching the news and there was a teacher strike going on. Like public school teachers have been striking across the land, teachers and like the staff. And it's just interesting because it's like, if we think about what we're doing to kids, like we're actually not paying the people that are caring for our children, but all the money is going to people who are exploiting our children. It's nothing but a reflection of our own self-hate as adults. Like, because it really is like, we are one, you know, hate to be corny here, but like the future of our planet, it actually is like, it's like nothing with the kids matter actually. So like,
right. Well, I think it's just, we all feel so powerless and like the people that get the power, their kids are doing great. So it's not immediately affecting them. It's just like the kids that live in bumblefuck nowhere that are getting screwed over.
But it's like, you think about these young models and it's like, some of them are like Paris, who just like got to get like, just walk, always walked like that star and like walked herself into the Wilhelmina office or whatever. But then there are other kids that were like discovered in the mall who are finding themselves at these parties when they're 17 years old, wearing adult clothing, doing this adult work at these parties where there's drugs and drinking. And it's like, for them to come across as like stupid or dumb, it's like, no, they are actually our youth.
Right. Like they have a right to not be as adept as an adult. And it's not even just the party scene. I mean, that's their work day. Their work day, they are the one kid in the room surrounded by a bunch of adults who are controlling a ton of money and exploiting these models' images to sell things. So it's just, I mean, like, yeah, it's not working in a coal mine, but I think it's got to be one of the biggest like mind fucks of a job that you can have.
It's not like overtly fucked up, but it is confusing when you're like, oh, my worth is to show up, remain looking childlike so that I keep being like elevated to these levels where I'm still just expected to be like a doll.
Yeah. And most of them won't even make that much money. Like most of them, they kind of just like flail around at the catalog and runway level. Like you really only start making the big bucks when you get hired to do campaigns, like advertising campaigns. And that's such a small subsection. So like a lot of these girls, they exit the modeling industry owing their agency money for room and board and everything. And it's just like, it just chews them up and spits them out.
A few years ago, I had a client, you know her, she's a big time Victoria's Secret, like she's a big time model. And if you look at her Instagram, you'd be like, wow, this model is like flying all over the world. And like, she's with, you know, rubbing elbows with like the elite of the elite. And she's so fucking gorgeous. And booking campaigns, you will know who she is when I show you her picture. She's famous, but the job sucks actually. And it's funny because what she hired me for wasn't even about like money or whatever. It was about, she didn't know how to take back control of her time because she was like, you don't understand what it's like. I feel like I'm owned by, and the way that modeling works too, it's very like, can you be out tomorrow? Can you be in Milan tomorrow? And then it's like the agents do front the tickets because you don't have that kind of money. It's also why, like, remember back in the day when like America's Next Top Model, it's like, was always so surprising to me when you'd watch these like modeling shows, and some of them would be like literally people that were just plucked out of the mall. Other people had like careers built, and it's like they still were broke, and it's like, and they're like out here like representing the most couture high-end shit, and it's like they're eating fucking, you know, the cheese and crackers at the fucking craft services and like hoping that they're full.
Yeah, it sucks. But I mean, it's really hard to feel bad for them because it is such a pole vault into this world where you have access to all these people. And if you are smart about it, you will become super wealthy, whether it's getting a job in fashion, just marrying a rich guy, like, and you're gorgeous. So no one's going to feel bad for you. But like,
well, I think that's why when the whole Adam Levine thing happened and we were like, Binti might stay with him, whatever her name was, like, she might stay with him because like, what is she gonna do? Like,
yeah, what else is she gonna do?
Yeah. And it, yeah.
Paris had a great quote that I really liked. This was really, I highlighted this. An accomplished party girl is a facilitator.
Oh my God. I highlighted that one too. That was the next one I was going to say. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. A facilitator, a negotiator, a diplomat. She's the sparkler and the match. Know your worth, girls. You're not lucky to be at the party. The party is lucky to have you. Apply as needed to relationships, jobs, and family. We've all heard that, like, they're lucky to have you kind of thing, but I don't know why. It's the way she said it really. It's
no, I'm telling you, this book was actually more effective than all of the nonfiction self-help books that line my fucking bedroom. Like, because yeah. even her saying that, and her even like, yeah, she's a Hilton, she's rich, but like her making it clear that like everything she, like even with all of her wealth, like everything she does, she's charging for, she's not giving shit away for free. And she's right. Everything is better because she is there, right? Being a party girl isn't like you fucking lose or you fucking throw away in your life. No, she's a party. She's a famous party girl because she makes the, she's totally fucking right. She makes the party. And it really helped me reframe like, oh, wait a second. Like, sorry to charge you all for conversations, but like, actually it's a service, like
it's your skill. Yeah.
Just being able to, and it's really a larger issue about, I think, like women's work and how we don't actually think that we should be like charging for and paying for what women actually do bring to the table, which is nurturing, support, right? That party, a party sucks without hot women.
All my new material about surrogates that I need to try out is like, you know, the clincher is like, of course you should be able to pay women to carry a baby, because guess who's been doing it for generations? Men. Since the beginning of time. That's literally what marriage is.
Wow. Like, yeah.
We should be getting, I'm getting paid for it. Like,
right.
It's right. Because my
because
wife.
Because you're married. You did it in order.
Yeah. And like, it's, I mean, I would love to have a raise, but.
Come on, Nick, fucking get into that boss's office. Mommy needs a raise.
Yeah. But let's go. It is the thing. And like when I was on that BBC show, This Is My House, I had like this little throwaway line that they aired, and Fern Maxted, I was talking to the real Fern and she's amazing. I fucking love her. She's so cool. I don't know if she listens to the pod or not, but she's great. We're talking and I was like, I'm pretending that I own the house. And I'm like, oh yeah, I have cleaning ladies. And she's like, how could you ever have cleaning ladies? Like, that's so, you know, you know, what is the word?
Like
immoral and wrong, exploitative. And I'm like, because I think it's the most feminist thing you can do.
I agree.
You need to be paying someone to clean your house. Why am I going to, I'm going to clean my house for free?
Yep. Right.
Why would I do that?
Well, it's also like, for the record, like that's also why we have like the strike that I was watching. It wasn't just supporting the teachers. It was like for the janitors and like the kitchen staff. It's like, also for the record, if anybody's listening, if you're not clear, let me just put it out there right now. If you want good karma and you want to be a normal person in the world, every time you leave a hotel room, leave a tip for the cleaning people, you fucking assholes.
I mean, if we want to talk about exploitation, we talk about what they get paid. Right. That's what the conversation is. It's not women shouldn't get paid to clean houses. That's
women
not
have to clean houses either way.
Right. Like the men are not going to do it. They don't freaking know how. Like they don't even know how to clean their toothbrush of old toothpaste before they put it back in the fucking cabinet.
Let me just give you one just little hope for the future. When I was in Philly and I had to have my aunt's apartment like super deep cleaned because I had literally been acting like I was an 18-year-old boy in there, and I needed like the company that I ended up going with.
You were just jerking it in the morning.
I was literally jerking it and just like having hose over and like just fucking, just fucking ripping the bong and shit. And like, but actually though, in my onesie, but the cleaning service I hired, it was an accident. It was men who came and did it. These two gorgeous men. And it was the first time, no, this is really like pathetic, but it was the first time I've ever like stayed and hung out and like sort of helped, because they were hot. And I was like, wait, men cleaning?
And also we were like this is internal misogyny, because I had that happen one time too. I hired a cleaner and a man showed up and I was embarrassed because I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this man is gonna like see all my mess. Like he shouldn't have to do this. And then I was like, wait. Why do I think the man should be this is like me being fucked up now.
No, I was doing so much like, don't judge me. Like, ha ha ha. Like sometimes I clean, like I was like, I wanted them to know, like, I'm not a gross person. It's like, no, I would never fucking like qualified for any woman. I'd be like, yeah, thank you. Here's extra money. Exactly. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm gross. But like, no, I was like, for the record, I'm a nice girl, for the record. Like,
I know.
Oh my God.
Okay, she has like a few mentions of Real Housewives where she speaks of them pretty reverently that I was really, really surprised by. And it does also just, I don't know why I thought she would be snobby about it, but I really liked that she wasn't. She has one little thing where she refers to the hot matriarchs, mom, Kris Jenner, Faye Resnick, Aunt Kyle, and Aunt Kim.
Yes.
Which is so funny because if you watch Beverly Hills, you know that it's actually the morally corrupt Faye Resnick. That's her full nomenclature. And then she brings up, she name drops Bethany, saying Bethany Frankel, a friend of Aunt Kyle's, was our nanny at the time. They were both 19 or 20. Like, she's like impressed that Bethany was her nanny. And like,
wait, but how was Bethany? I meant to, okay, you and I had like the same. No, we had like the same notes, though. I'm really thrilled to see.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Bethany was her nanny. Bethany's been crawling and scraping since the jump. Like, she has been, she's one of those people who like,
she's like original Kim K getting into Paris's closet.
Yeah, she was going to pop off no matter what. Wow. And like,
we should do her chart sometime. She's an interesting character.
Yeah, she's a Scorpio. She's like, she gives me hope because like, yes, New York was the thing that put her on the map, Real Housewives of New York. And it is her true calling in life. I mean, she shines on that show like nothing else. She's had so many spinoffs. Love you, Bethany, but none of them hit like Real Housewives of New York. But like, even if she never got cast on Real Housewives, she still would have been something. Like, she,
yeah,
something would have popped off for her. And it's like, because she always knew the right places to go. Like, let me move to LA. Let me become friends with Kyle Richards. Let me nanny for Kathy Hilton. Like, this is all gonna, like, these seeds are being planted. Wow. Nick said a really corny inspirational fitness quote to me the other day that was so good. He said, it's not about consistency. It's not about motivation. It's about consistency.
It's so true. It's
right. Like, you don't need to be like, I'm going to do it. Right.
You have to show up and do it.
Keep planting the seeds. Yeah.
Yep.
As I spent my entire day cleaning my house instead of doing work.
Here we are at the Space Trash. We're just watering the garden, even though the roots haven't sprouted yet or whatever.
Yeah.
There's no stem quite yet.
She goes into her mom's little child acting career. She had small parts in Bewitched, Nanny and the Professor, Family Affair, and The Rockford Files. When she was 18, she played a backup singer on Happy Days and a bunch of other stuff. She went to Montclair Prep, where she was friends with Michael Jackson. She just speaks so glowingly of her mother. And we kind of already talked about how, like, this, I think this is genuine and strategic at the same time. Like, I think,
I think
all of those kids genuinely love and respect their parents. And they know that, like, because, like, at the end of the day, like, all of the Hiltons love to say, like, no, you don't understand. We actually don't inherit the fortune. It's like, okay, but I know you're not inheriting nothing.
Well, that was inheriting even in the first like sentence of this book. That's basically what it starts with. Like, she's basically like, I'm really proud to be exactly like my abusive granddaddy, Conrad. But also, we're working people. And like, he left all of it to charity. And it's like, all of it?
No, he definitely didn't leave all of it to charity.
And like,
also, like, your dad's not going to do that. There's no way that Rick Hilton is going to leave, because he worked his ass off too and built an empire in real estate, which is really hard. And like, I don't think he's going to leave that to charity. I think he's going to divide it among his kids for sure.
Of course he is. But I do think that's really interesting, right? Like, to think of it not in terms of like, I'm talking about my mother so lovingly because we actually are genuinely really close. But it's also like just making sure that even though you're about to tell a story where you actually like, in a way, reveal how poorly cared for you were like as an adolescent and how little, even if they were brainwashed, whatever, but like your parents fucked up. Like, her parents fucked up.
She has a couple of pages later, she's talking about how her mom bought her some shoes that the kids made fun of her for. And she says, I hate you. Why did you buy me these shoes? Everyone is so mean. If I said I hate you to my mother,
I would have
a speech impediment right now. Like, that's not allowed. So like, it's like, that is something where it's like a little bit more revealing than what she thinks it is. It's like, you got to say I hate you to your mom
over shoes.
Yeah,
that she bought you.
Live to tell the tale. And then she's like, once you're on that end of the bully dynamic, school can get pretty torturous. My grades started to slide. Like, I don't know. I'm sure Paris was on every end of the bully dynamic you can possibly think of.
She seems kind of big bully energy. And also, like, didn't we start this whole thing with a prologue to ADD and you were undiagnosed at that time? Like, maybe your grades slipped because you had attention deficit disorder and you were not diagnosed.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just don't know if the shoes.
Yeah, exactly. So she's leaving her middle school bestie, Nicole Richie. And she says, together we aspire, because she got kicked out of that school because her grades were so bad. Together we aspire to be the kind of cool girls Bethany and Kyle were. I mean, that is like such a feather in Bethany and Kyle's caps to totally. Get. Like, I cannot believe Bethany's not all over TikTok singing the praises of her mentions in this book and reading them and reading them and reading them over and over and over again. Like, that is such a line on the resume for the two of them to be like, yeah, Paris wanted to be us. Like, she's giving them a gift with that.
Paris is, whatever you want to say, a wonderful business person, because she's so smart in baking all of these famous names and people into her memoir, because it might be a really, it would be like a very organic way to get them to promote it or to get people excited about it. Like, she gives so many mentions to like Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, like all of these people, Kyle, Bethany, like the whole thing is like star studded with the biggest names ever, who also some of them could probably use a little bump of like, you know, Paris's support. But if they're going to get that bump from Paris, they're going to need to share. Like, it's like, it's just really interesting sort of like, like the smartest grassroots marketing we've seen. And you know what I mean? It's like, oh, let's tag the real Fern. And then when she listens to the pod as a result and shares it because she's a part, you know what I mean? It's like, we're not really capitalizing on name dropping the way that I think she expects to.
Every name Paris drops is effectively an Instagram tag. And it's like, okay, I did my duty. So now, like, are you going to share the book or what, you know?
Right.
And literally, I'm sure she sent them each a copy of the book and had a little personalized thing that was like, I'm so happy that you're part of my story, like kind of thing, so that they would have to read it, so that then they would like feel even more pressure to kind of like sing the praises. So yeah, she's a smart cookie. A couple pages later, she reveals how she walked in on her mom reading her diary to her mom's friends and doing a funny voice.
It's my nightmare. That's my number one nightmare on earth.
Kathy Hilton is a meanie. Like, she is a meanie. And
no, Pisces can really, the boundarylessness of Pisces can really be scary.
Yeah, like that's not nice.
It's cruel.
Yeah.
I used to hear my mom sometimes talking with her friends, not even in a making fun of me way, but like sincerely.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Like, I'm worried about Sarah, or like, oh, Sarah broke up with Dave or whatever. And I would be like, how dare you? This is why I don't tell you anything. Side note, I tell her everything all the time. And either way, she's fucking stupid around in my shit too. But she would never, like, she wasn't even doing it in like a performative way. But I was like, you're exposing my truth.
Feels like, yeah, it feels like a betrayal.
Yeah. And to imagine, like, your diary's the comedy act for your mom and their friends. Like, she went in there and like invaded. I mean, I do think there is a theme here with Paris where it's like, over and over and over and over, just like invasions.
Yeah,
invasions, the whole thing.
Crazy. It's like, oh my God, it's so sad. And
it's,
I mean,
really, like, look. And then it's like not just, it's like the theme, that is like the theme of every, it runs through the entirety of her life.
And I think it's because, like, her life is spectacular. She's a tall, thin, blonde, gorgeous, good at business, born rich, will remain rich until the day she dies, has been proposed to 700 times. Like, she's got it all. She does. Yep. And on paper and in real life. So, like, I think that kind of, and she was so guarded for so long, like until she opened up about the school on that documentary, nobody knew really who the real her was, because
never.
You're just like, okay, this is just a girl who got everything handed to her. Yes, she made a few good business decisions, but like, who is she really? So it kind of makes people, and this is not to victim blame at all, but I think it makes people want to chip away even more, because like, Kathy even Kathy was probably in awe of her daughter. She was probably like, I want to know what's really going on with Paris. Like, she's stunning.
I get her being genuinely curious, but you don't have to like fucking, you don't have to like read it to your friends, but I understand as like from a, even just as a nosy girlfriend, I don't know, you know, I understand the instincts, just like,
yeah,
what is going on in her life?
To use it as material is the true
fucked
betrayal.
Up. I mean, truly fucked up.
I think we all know our moms read our diaries when we were little.
A thousand.
Like, I mean, who wouldn't? But like,
well, did I ever tell you? Remind me later if we have time. Remind me to tell you the Tony story. I have a very, very funny story about my mother reading one of my brother's IMs and confronting him about being gay, and he wasn't gay, but she read something wrong, and it's very, very funny.
That is funny. I yeah, it's, like, it's almost like Kathy wanted to knock her own daughter off a pedestal a little bit. Like,
well, I
to
do
her
wonder
friends,
if,
that's so fucked up.
It's
to truly, her own friends. Like, Kathy was like, let me put my daughter down in front of my own friends.
Yeah. It's unthinkably mean. It's and insecure. And I do wonder, I mean, it's almost like we were talking before, like about how, like, in a way, Kathy was like, I'm raising you totally different than I was because of the ways that, because of what I learned from the industry, et cetera, et cetera. Although the other piece of it is Kathy was like, no, I didn't want to be an actress. I was a singer and I should have been a star, baby. It's like, I wonder if there was a part of her that was just genuinely like jealous of.
Yeah.
And like, and I also wonder like, well, I guess we'll get there in the book, but like, I wonder if she was even jealous of Paris's relationship with Big Kathy.
Maybe, yeah. And that she, that Paris was growing up with all of the luxury that Kathy had to work for as a child. Like, this is another level from having
child exploitation again, though.
Yeah, from having a poor, instead of having like a poor childhood, it's like, no, you are the breadwinner childhood. That's a whole different level of fucked up. So yeah, Kathy was probably jealous of how easy Paris's life seemed. And she probably was so frustrated that Paris couldn't just buckle down and do the work, and was like, why can't you go into this? Like, I've done it. I've secured the bag. I've married a rich guy who's got an empire, a real estate empire, and I did it for my children. And all I need you to do is stay in the lines and go to an Ivy League school, and like, you will have all this and more.
Right.
So like, for her not to do that and to want to take a different path, like, I kind of get why that was a betrayal to Kathy, but like, not
even
excuse the cruelty of the diary stunt, obviously.
Yeah, and I also, it's like, I get where it might have felt like a betrayal to Kathy, but I also think, you know, based on the sisters literally like still fighting about everything on television as a like means to an end, like Kyle and Kim needed housewives. Like, Kathy doesn't really as much, but
well, now she's getting into it. She was like, she really made that last Beverly Hills reunion her bitch. Like,
well, but I almost feel like if that was that actually wasn't about money, that was about vindication of like, yeah, I actually am the star that I was supposed to be too. And actually I am going to take a cue from my brilliant fake dumb daughter and wonder about hunky dory, because actually I learned from my child. She would never say that, but I think that, yeah, there was an overwhelming, no matter how successful any of like Kathy or the Richard sisters were, I do think that they're like, Kathy Hilton's big win is that she married Rick Hilton. It wasn't because she popped off in any sort of real way.
Yeah. And I mean that, but kind of what I loved about that reunion, as much as I do love to watch Lisa Rinna, sorry, can't help it. I love her on the show. Like, that was an extended revenge ploy on behalf of Kim. And like, I love that, because the reason why I can't get down with Kyle is the way that she used Kim's alcoholism as a,
unacceptable,
a cudgel to beat her with on national television. Like, that was, I just think it's disgusting. Like, I know that having an addict sibling is terrible, but then like, okay, don't bring them on the TV show with you. Like, obviously
also, like,
it's a bad idea. And like, it seems like Kyle from the beginning just wanted to be like, no, look, I'm the good sister. Like, even though she had the real, she was the real child star icon, I'm the one with it all together. Look what a mess she is compared to me. And like, you can just tell from the way that she always did the show. So like, Kathy coming in and just reading Lisa Rinna to filth was like, no, actually, you can't fuck with the Richard sisters, because I'm here now, you know?
Yep.
And like, yeah, Kyle might let you run all over Kim, but like, this is not going to happen. And my house is bigger than yours. So actually you are fucked.
Well, and I do kind of love that. And I relate to the whole, like, I can talk shit about my sisters and my family, but you can't.
Oh,
like,
yeah, obviously.
I like that. Like, it's like, all right, yeah, you're still allowed to be like a bitchy sister and a bitchy daughter and a bitchy mother, but you're not allowed to, like, you do still have to be a watchdog for like, oh, it's like, yeah. You win that. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, we can, not that we would, Casey, we're just using an example, but it's like, if we were to be like, I'm going to tell you a funny story about Luke, and like, I can, cause he's my brother Luke. But if anybody else were like, oh, remember that time that Myra read Luke's messages? I'd be like, yeah, it's not your story to tell. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Don't tell the story. I'll tell the story.
And like Kyle's MO seemed to be the opposite. It seems right. to be like, I'm going to do the most tepid support of my sister
right.
and pretend, but actually really be saying she's a lost cause the whole time while allowing everyone else to trounce all over her because she's one of the lowest status members of this group. Like
after bringing her into this.
Really? Exactly. Oh God.
It's
okay,
really mean. It's really fucking mean. It's all it's mean. So mean. Holy shit.
Exactly what she was doing, bringing Kim on that show. So, yeah. Okay. Oh, now yeah. we get into when her predator teacher comes to her house, to Paris's house, and she sneaks out and goes and sits in the front seat with him, and they drive around and start making out. And then her parents.
Wait, so for anybody that didn't read it and is just using us as a cliff, so it's the long and short of it is that she was in this school. There was a hot teacher. Everyone said he was the hot teacher. And the teacher started to kind of groom her over time yeah. to like, let her know, like, it's too bad you're an eighth grader. And like, what were the student was saying? It was like,
yeah.
you know,
well, we
like,
think, yeah. So then he went to her house,
yeah.
they made out and her parents saw and chased them around. And she of course blamed herself for years. And her parents never even talked to her about it. I mean,
no one said anything.
No one ever said anything. They just pretended that it never happened. I mean, that is insane.
And what's also insane too is like that this guy, like how embarrassing for this dude. First of all, I think it's cool that she doesn't name him because he should just feel the.
Oh, done. I wish she, I mean, I don't know. I don't get to have a point of view about what.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I love or not love, but like, it's sort of like one of those things where, because like, if she were to name him now, it would just be like drama. Instead of just like the shame of like you nameless pot teacher pedophile, like
you lose whatever job he has now if she named him.
True.
And like maybe other girls would come forward and say,
hey, oh, I wonder. Yeah. That. Too. Yeah. Actually, you're right. Yeah. Maybe it's I was just thinking from like an ego perspective. I kind of get being like my first like assailant who like doesn't even need to be named because it's like you're one of many and like you don't fucking matter. But like ultimately you were the start of this like.
Terrible
like,
pattern but then
terrible
the thing is,
pattern
he's relieved now that she didn't name him, you know, like
yeah,
but so she says she didn't want to say pedophile or child molester because that would be casting herself in the role of victim and I just couldn't go there. I couldn't accept that all his praises, all those affirmations an eighth grade girl desperately needs to hear came from a place of malevolence and I was stupid and vain enough to buy it. So sad.
Oh, and then it's like fucked up too because like the minute that he almost got caught by her parents, like it actually does remind me of this season of The Bachelor where he's like, I didn't even mean it, get out of the car, like I'm now gonna ghost you. Like he basically like after yeah. This adult teacher came to his eighth grade child student's house and like kissed her in her parents' driveway like a fucking idiot. Like if you're gonna rape and be pedophile, do it smart. But like it's like he just did it in front of this house, like, and then was like shook, like, oh no, I'm gonna get in trouble. What are we even doing here? We are not doing anything here, teach. You're doing something here. Like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
This is a real side note, but she says, as surely as plastic bags make the wind blow, the shame was on me for ruining this poor man's life. What is as surely as plastic bags make the wind blow?
I think that she's okay. So I caught that too.
Have
I was thinking
ever
she, no, she's, I think the point is plastic bags blow in the wind. Plastic bags don't make the wind blow. So she was saying like, just because these two things like go hand in hand doesn't mean that one causes the other. In fact, it's the opposite.
Okay. Smart ghostwriter. Yep, so, yep. Okay.
Smart ghostwriters, right? I did think that I was like, this is a very funny book and this is very well written. And I want to know who wrote it.
You can tell there's little parts that you can tell are like a ghostwriter, but totally it's fine. Did.
Her voice still shines through and I think it's funny. I actually think there are real moments of comedy.
Yeah. I like this too. She talks about Marilyn Monroe. She said being abused when she was a kid, we were given a choice. You're a stupid child who was deceived, used and thrown away like garbage, or you're an irresistible siren whose beauty and allure have the power to change someone's mind, sway their soul and alter their behavior. Given the choice between victim and influencer, Marilyn and I embraced our siren selves. The leap to influencer is definitely a big one, but I like it's very interesting sentiment that like it makes you completely understand why a lot of the time people go down maybe more of a hypersexual route when they do have abuse in their past. Like, I've never heard it laid out that way. And it really makes complete sense.
What was I reading the other day? Oh, like, this would be bad radio. I'll stop that thought. But like, if it comes to me, or something I was watching that was addressing exactly that, like someone's decision to like basically turn, I don't know, what was it? Someone's decision to like turn the tables and like take back because it had already been done, like to part of like being, having a career that was hypersexualized. Oh, I'm stupid. Maybe it was Pamela Anderson. Ha 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 ha. And we talked about it here on the podcast and it was her documentary. But
Pamela Anderson, who ended up marrying one of the guys who did Paris Hilton's sex tape. And conveniently, like, barely mentioned it in her. I still just can't even. I mean, for
that's
her,
so,
like,
that is such a blind spot to just not address that. That's so weird.
And
so
to have your whole thing be about, like, I was exploited by this sex tape, and then I went and married the same exact guy who exploited someone else. And, like, I mean, she was in her 40s or 50s when she married that guy. It's kind of like,
it's really weird.
I don't understand. And I want to give her the benefit of the doubt and be like, you know, maybe she was pursuing that guy, or she was interested in that guy because of some sort of Stockholm syndrome or something. But I know
that's what I was just going to say. I was just going to say, perhaps it's the same thing that Paris is saying about why she didn't want to acknowledge that her teacher was actually a predator, because it's like almost too painful to like, it's like, right. You're like, no, Paris is okay. And I'm okay. And we're all okay. And this guy's a big old dick.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe that he's the one that she married twice with, and he had a crack pipe. It's like, yo, all of the signs, man, all the signs, man.
Yeah.
What do we need? What do we need from men to actually get us to steer clear? I don't understand.
How many red flags?
Like, yeah. This is not yard work. It doesn't mean something good is happening here. It means stay off the lawn.
Yeah, exactly. So this part where she goes to live with her grandma, and she says, one day I came home upset because a boy was being mean to me in class. Graham Cracker knew his parents, so she called him on the phone and cursed him out. Listen, you ugly little pimple face, don't fuck with my granddaughter. If you so much as speak to her again, I'll come over there and destroy you. What do you think about a grandmother using those sort of tactics? I mean, it's making me clutch my pearls a little bit. I would like to know what are the specifics of how he was being mean to Paris also, because,
well, right. I mean,
who to even call knows? Like a 15-year-old an ugly little pimple face is definitely, I mean, seems like a little bit of an escalation.
Well, I mean, a lot of escalation has happened throughout the course of the beginning of this book. Like, everything about this has escalated. So like, I guess to me, the thing that I took away from it was like, you know, like in a world where Big Kathy is raising three daughters and they're all struggling to survive, and that's the way she's acting, it makes no sense. And it's really damaging, versus it might've been the kind of standing up for that Paris needed. And even though from a grandmother,
right, because
it is deeply inappropriate, because her parents never did. And it sort of is in the tone of where I think Kathy Evanzino, blah, 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 Hilton, whatever, not Hilton, mommy of Hilton. It's like her, wherever she was, like arrested development. Like, it's in the tone of a 15-year-old as well. Like, that sort of is Big Kathy's downfall, that like, she sort of never graduated out of these like sort of high school politics, like middle school politics. So in a way, it's like, I think the reason that Paris and her grandmother were able to be so close is because she did shit like that. Whereas Kathy Hilton, you know, big little Kathy as a kid, maybe would have had shit like that happen, but it would have been like, mom. Whereas with Paris, she's like, finally.
Yeah. Now this also, I mean, this was another thing where she's kind of letting slip a little bit more than she thinks. She's talking about how, like, why they sent her to live with her grandma. And she says, I was smarter than most of the nannies. I was not smarter than Graham Cracker. Nobody ever was or will be. Like, really, Paris, you want to go on record? I was smarter than most of the nannies, most of the grown women, like, not smart.
Well, it's one of those things too, that's like sort of like, as Casey always says on the Bachelor pods, like, it's the quiet part out loud. It's like, even if that is true, it's just, well, and not even like not smart. It's just like unkind. Like, yeah, there's no reason that you need to like compare yourself. And you could say like, I was wise beyond my years, and therefore I was a little bit of a thorn in everybody's side because I had unbridled confidence and fearlessness or whatever. But to be like, everyone's stupid except for me, is a little bit like, all right. Just like,
also like, maybe the nannies were watching
that.
Yeah, maybe the nannies were watching the three other kids in the house, most of whom were younger than you, who were probably getting paid to watch. Like, Of course the nannies didn't notice if you snuck out. They have a fucking million other things to do. The grandma is just drinking alone in Palm Springs. Like, of course, right. It's going to be harder to like escape her radar, you know? So I don't know. I was smarter than most of the nannies is, oh man. Like she,
define smart. Like, yeah, it's just like, it's just not, yeah, I would have cut that if I was your coach, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure the nannies probably managed to finish high school.
Finish high school and also finish like the dishes and the laundry and like, look, you're still alive. So, and you really made it hard for people to kind of like keep track of you. So like they did okay. Like,
yeah, I just felt bad. I was like, oh man. Yeah. Blind spot. So then her family moves to New York City without her while she's living in Palm Springs.
It's horrible.
It's unthinkable.
Unthinkable.
So she says, I was stuck living next to a golf course. Oh, let me get violin.
Again, let's get out a little red pen and maybe cut that sentence.
Yeah, while my family took up residence in the Waldorf Astoria. Like,
Both sound okay to me.
I know. Why put in the golf course? That's hilarious.
Well, not living next to a golf course.
Yeah. So funny. So... So she says she was saving herself for her husband. So, okay. Now we're getting a little bitchy now, just sure. From the last few things that we've said.
It's our own shit.
It is our own shit. Our jealousy over super rich people.
I'll take a golf course for sure.
Fleets of staff looking after them and still manage to be ungrateful and insulting to the staff. Indeed. Sorry.
Specifically. That's the problem. Tip the wait staff. Donate when
overpay your cleaning lady and don't talk about how you're smarter than your nannies.
Leave
don't
money at the hotels extra for the cleaning ladies. Thank you.
Yeah. But okay. Here's another bitchy question. She says she was a virgin and she says that she wanted to save herself for her husband. She also says that she didn't drink or do drugs at any of these raves that she was sneaking out to that got her sent away to the CEDU schools, CEDU, CEDU. That's what she calls it. So do you think this is a little revisionist? And she's kind of like, look, all I was doing was skipping school. It's not like I was having sex or like doing drugs or drinking and they still sent me to these crazy schools. Like, do you think that's really true? And she really was a virgin and she really was not drinking at these raves.
I think because she was so young, it's possible that it's because like, think about it from a parent's perspective, even if your kid isn't like, even before I started drinking, if I was out later than my curfew, I was in trouble.
Yeah.
Like I think, and they are in these like, sort of like, I mean, like one of the first stories in the book, which is like not really that notable, but now that we're talking about it, it's like, she's talking about like dressing up like a 13-year-old Khloe Kardashian to come to the club that they both were too young to get into. And then it was like, she's like, Khloe, if anybody asks, your name is Betsy Johnson, which I thought was hilarious just to make her Betsy Johnson. But it's like, they're all kids. And I think the thrill of being there, like as teenagers probably was like bad enough. I think when she got to the point, like she gets later in the book, she talks about like the infamous, like Brittany Lindsay, like the photo.
She's honest that after she got out of Provo, she did start drinking to numb the pain. And like that, I mean, who the fuck wouldn't? But like, I mean, for me, as a 14-year-old, like the thrill would have been the drinking and like,
sneaking. Yeah, I wasn't really drinking until then. I was like fucking before I was drinking.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. See, I guess like the town I grew up in was like such a heavy emphasis on drinking and like you were only cool if you were like drinking every weekend, and if you went out to drink you were like a loser. So I mean, but I also just really like drinking, so
once I discovered it, I thought this is fabulous, I'll never stop. But yeah, I didn't smoke pot till college. I mean I drank my like junior and senior year of high school, I guess, but like before then I didn't. And it was really like, I mean, I was like leading like group hot tub orgies and shit. So, you know, that actually, my sexuality is actually not a function of my drinking, but I think it's environmental is what I'm saying. It's basically like whatever the thing, like for her, I do think that just going out and being in this club world would be terrifying if I was a parent. Like, I get that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And skipping school is never not a okay. good look for as we a parent. Do it, like,
but don't get caught. It's fucking
yeah, nuts. Exactly. So, like, I completely understand why her parents were at their wits' end. I mean, she gets kicked out of like 5 schools by the time she gets sent away. Like, but I think it's because her parents weren't listening to her and they had an extremely rigid view of who she should be. But my question just was, is she like, come on? Who
no, I don't think she's lying. I don't think she's
lying. These rapes.
Okay. I don't think she's lying because actually, I think the next story you probably are going to get to, which does ring true, is the story about I don't mean to gus and check, but like it's like she tells the story of basically being assaulted in Palm Springs with that older guy, and I do believe that she's telling the truth because
she has no reason to lie. Just to be clear, me asking, do you really think she was saving herself for marriage? It's not because I don't believe this story. It's just
right.
Because,
oh, no. But this is what I'm saying. The way that she's talking about experience and being pressured to drink the like special juice or whatever, like you do get the sense that she really wasn't drinking yet.
Yeah. But also, even if you were, a roofie is still a roofie. So basically, she's in Palm Springs and she and her, or is it in LA? Maybe she's
Palm
in
Springs.
LA.
No, it's okay. Wait. Was it?
It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. She's because
there were two. There was one like Tori Spelling.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Her and her friend are like meet these older guys, and the one guy roofies her and sexually assaults her. Really like date rapes her, full on rapes her. So she was really upset about it. She says she's hardly thought about it since it happened. I honestly didn't realize this was the next story in the book. Otherwise, I would not have asked the question about whether she was really a virgin, because that's in really poor taste. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. If she could have been on full on heroin and this guy would still be the wrong
1,000%
the one who's wrong. But like, I didn't realize now I look like an asshole. But it's terrible. So many people taking advantage of her and it's because she's rich. It's because she's tall. It's because she's blonde. It's because she's skinny. She's an heiress. It's because she's got something. I think she is
a star.
She's a star, and people are just like fucking pathetic and despicable. And they want to chip away as much as they can. And also, I mean, this particular one is just a pervert.
But he's a rapist. Yeah.
He's a rapist. Yeah. It has nothing to do with who she is as a person, but
right. Just, he would have raped whoever was there, but
Yeah, the way that it's a pattern in her life, I feel like that's like people are dicks and they're jealous. I mean, I mean, it's really easy to call people jealous, but I think the reason why everyone hates her so much and hates Kim Kardashian is because they don't have that fig leaf of, well, I have a talent. It's like, well, who cares? What's a talent? What's acting? Acting's not hard. Like, why do we give these like actors and auto-tuned pop stars like respectability and not Paris and Kim, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's just because we all are, we can't face how much we wish we looked like them.
Yeah.
So and that's now like, she literally it.
Exactly. She comes for Pink. I loved this. I was so happy that she finally rinsed Pink for this.
Yeah.
This was bullshit. Even as a kid, I remember thinking this song was woman hating, internalized misogyny, pick me girl. That wasn't a term back then, but bullshit. Yep. The song Stupid Girl. Do you remember?
Oh, do I remember? What was the
girl.
I don't want to be. Yeah. Now I'm like, do I remember? I don't know if I remember, but of course I remember. But now I'm like, I can't sing it. I don't remember, but I know. Yes, I remember.
Yeah. So, okay.
How did it go again? It was. Sing
what? I don't want to be a stupid girl. And the whole music video is parodies of Paris, Nicki, Britney Spears, Pamela Anderson, parodies of every woman who's already being exploited by the system. And
it's like, oh, Pink, that's why we think you're butch. It's like, no, yeah, like you're just not that pretty. I get to, do I have to cut that? But it's like, you're just not that pretty. Like, she's jealous.
You know, speaking of jealousy, like, I'm sorry. I don't know if this is smart for me to say or not, but I mean, half the time, this is just a completely different topic. But like, I mean, when you think about TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists, like the women who are feminists who are anti-trans, I mean, they're never good looking. And I think it's always a thing of like, and I understand being frustrated by this. It's like, well, how come these people are born men and then they get to have guilt-free plastic surgery and reap all the benefits of pretty woman privilege that I have never had? Like, I understand the frustration and why that would drive you crazy. But also it's like, no, we're all free to opt into pretty privilege. Like,
right. Like in life coaching school, they would teach us that like jealousy was actually just us, like our inner selves shining a light on actually something that we want. And we're not saying that we want. So it's like, Pink, you like, get some hair extensions, dude. Like,
yeah, like you can't hate the game. Like,
yeah,
it's these women. Yes, they have pretty privilege, and people treat them differently because they're pretty. But like, you can either opt in or opt out. But if you opt out, there's no point getting mad at the women who are opting in. And
but also, you're now treating them differently because they're pretty too. Like,
and you're wearing like, low-rise jeans and showing your stomach and acting all sexy also, just because you're also like pretending to be black at the same time. So it's slightly different, which that is literally how she got.
She's like, you don't get it, man. Pennsylvania is like fucking wild. It's like, you're nobody people in Pennsylvania. So like, I'm the black person in Pennsylvania. It's like, no,
I know. Like, she literally,
you need to chill out. You need to chill the fuck out.
She is.
I don't hate Pink
talk.
Either, for the record. There are certain songs that are actually like B-side tracks from her first album that I still fucking rock. Misunderstood, one of the best. But like,
oh my god.
But it's just like, otherwise, like, yeah, Pink, like, just chill the fuck out, Pink. Like, you're not helping.
I kind of liked her
for being like not fucking butch by like displaying so much fucking testosterone in every single move you make. Like, chill the fuck out.
I don't even think it's that. It's just like,
she seems like she came to fight. It's like,
yeah, she came to fight. And like, she did get big. Like, she didn't not use looks and body and femininity to her advantage just because she had abs. Like, it doesn't make you better than them because you had like a six pack and they just had like a little dainty model stomach. But okay, so let me just read what she said about Pink
now that we've bashed Pink.
She says, who's more generous, evolved, and progressive than Pink? Nobody. She's effing awesome, brilliant, and she seems like a great mom, which makes me like and respect her even more. Now, this is the little Kathy coming through.
Genius to write compliment first, then feedback.
Yeah. But when everyone was buzzing about a sex tape of a certain teenage girl from a soon-to-be hit TV show, a girl who said emphatically over and over that she did not want the tape out there, the takeaway was the song Stupid Girl. The whole video is a not at all subtle send up of porno paparazzi girls, that's in quotes, in general, and specifically me, in a parody of my infamous sex tape. I mean, fuck you, Pink. Fuck you.
And again, though, like, just this ignoring the fact that we're talking, how old was Paris when it came out? 19?
19.
We're ignoring the fact that she's a teenager.
She's a child. Her frontal lobe is not fully developed.
It wasn't legally allowed to drink yet.
Yeah. Listen to this. Pink sang about outcasts and girls with ambition and said, that's what I want to see. But she chose not to see it in me. I mean,
yeah, it's like, actually, right. Yeah, no, drop the mic, B. Drop the mic. Not Pink. Drop the mic, Paris. Like,
she landed the plane. I mean, that is like,
she's right.
Incredible. And then she says, to be clear, I'm not mad at Pink. Okay. But sure. We want to be classy. So yeah, we'll let her be
Paris
classy.
Paris isn't mad at anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so happy she put that in there. It is really like the only celeb slander that's in the book. And like, I just feel like it's so beyond fair.
Yeah.
And like, maybe Pink will be, I'm sure Pink has talked about it since then. And maybe
I would
regretted
be curious
it.
Again. I liked the first album. I don't hate Pink, but doing the thing that I'm accusing everybody else of doing is just like, oh man, Pink.
It's not cool.
Pink, you're in the red. You're in the red. Yeah. Pink.
I just looked up if she has said anything about Stupid Girls, and she hasn't. Also, it did kind of go viral. And if anyone has found anything, let us know, please, because I would love to set the record straight if she has said anything about it. But it started to go viral again on TikTok a few months ago. And like, half of the people in the comments were like, this is so fucked up and sexist, and she was being an asshole to all these other women. And then the other half are like, no, you don't understand. Like, she's making fun of the system that created them. And it's like, no, she's not.
No, she's not. No, she's actually just bashing other women.
Yeah, she is. And like, look, I'm not the person to be like, women need to support other women. Like, no, support other women that you like. But
also,
like,
just like, people need to support people.
Exactly.
It's like, this is like, so right. You don't really have a case. And I understand she even talked about it in the
like,
song.
The
she's mad at Lou Reed. I want pretty like Paris. I'm mad at Lou Reed, whatever. And it's like, okay, but like, that's like your situation.
Wait,
either
Lou
way.
Reed?
Isn't that like
the Velvet Underground? She's like, I hate Sunday morning. It's a terrible song.
Wait, who's the name?
Oh, what is
about,
name?
Talk about like spreading slander like on the airwaves. No, but you know, like, there's like a line in one of her songs. Like, right. Okay. Lou Reed is a really funny wrong one. That's really
hilarious.
Funny. It's not Lou Reed.
She's just really mad at Iggy Pop and Bob Dylan. That's it.
Why did you guys think you were Rolling Stones, wandering beatniks? Fuck you. I'm a wandering beatnik. No. Okay. But now I have to remember what it was, but there's some line I can hear it in my head. And for some reason, I'm hearing Lou Reed, but it's
the
like,
reason
he has a
why
line.
It's so annoying is because she's trying to come at it from, she's acting like she's coming at it from an empowered place.
Exactly.
Like
that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
That's what's so annoying about it. She's not just saying, like, I mean, the stuff that Sarah Silverman says later in the book that we'll get to in part two about Paris at an award show is so much more fair to me, because in that instance, she's just like, I'm a comedian and I'm making fun of this super rich person who right. fell on hard times. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, but like Pink is acting like, no, I'm the good one. They're the bad one. Like,
right.
whereas Sarah Silverman and most stand-up comics, I mean, our position is no, I'm also a piece of shit. Like, I'm not standing right. here to tell you what's good and what's bad. I'm just making you laugh. Whereas Pink's thing is like, this is how women should behave. I'm the only one who knows. And that's what makes it
just embarrassing. It's just embarrassing for her. Yeah. And the other thing too, is just like the importance of like context. Like the reason the Sarah Silverman, and we'll get there, but it's like in the context of comedy, so long as it is a good one, we are all in agreement that we're joking. Like comedy is permission giving in the way of like, we're just breaking some tension here and I've been paid to do it. And my job is to create laughs versus like, yeah, going on your crusade against like actually attractive women.
Yeah. And it's like Pink, guess what?
Also, Pink, you're attractive. Yeah.
Attractive.
You're just a different type.
Literally, you're attractive. If you weren't attractive, you wouldn't be a pop star in the 2000s.
Right.
If you weren't thin and attractive, you wouldn't have this career.
Like, sorry, Lou Reed didn't pick you, but
you're no Nico. Yeah. It's just, and that happens all the time. I mean, I have arguments with people about certain things, what's going to work, what's not going to work in comedy. And it really bothers me when people act like certain things are for attractive people and certain things aren't, because I'm like, no, like you literally get to opt into being attractive at any time. Like everyone can be more attractive. Look at Tom Sandoval. That guy's not good looking.
Right.
And he has two famous women fighting over, and they're not fighting over him, but like, you know what I mean? It's like, you can opt into being attractive, put in some effort, stand up straight, eat healthy, work out. You can always look better than the baseline and you can do it. And if you don't opt in, but you got to get over it then. And you got to say, okay, I'm leaving opportunities on the table because I'm not grooming myself.
But I'm going for other opportunities and I'm not going to make that my, like, you don't like, if you're right. Putting so much energy into writing stupid girl songs about skinny teenagers who have been completely violated is such a misuse of your time. If what you're going for is to like empower yourself and like the girls listening, it's like, this is a song for the ugly girls. It's like, that's not actually like that. That's not helpful. Actually, like, you're beautiful by being human. Even if it's like, you can be above the baseline. It's like, I gotta say, as somebody who just like gains and loses weight rapidly, and honestly, I might have never looked worse in my life. Attractiveness comes from within. I hate to be corny.
It's true.
It's a confidence thing. Like
it literally is.
Literally like, is. Like that's the big secret. The big secret is like, walk like you mean it and talk like you mean it and you're fine. You're attractive.
And if you have charisma, no one even notices what you look like.
It's really the ugly, boring girls that are fucked.
And if you say to yourself, I'm ugly, this life is not for me because I'm ugly, then you know what? You're right.
Yeah, then try again next karmic cycle.
Right. Like you're right. If you're going to think that about yourself, but you really can think yourself into being hot.
Absolutely.
I've done it.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally though. Like, yeah, I want to post to my art collection of men that have been in my canon, my collection, the most beautiful men. It's one of the pride and joys of my life.
I know. I love how much you love that. It's so funny.
I love beautiful men. Beautiful men listening. I love you.
That was a highly satisfying tangent because I know how much I've been wanting to rip that song to shreds. Just since it came out.
Thank you, Paris, for bringing us back to the convos we really want to be in all the time.
And how fun for Paris to kind of just for 2 seconds have the moral high ground.
Oh yeah.
You know, after like years and years of people acting like she's what's wrong with society, like to just be like, actually,
well, that is
let me preach for a minute about what a piece of shit Pink was to me when I was a literal teenager.
Aside from like a few nanny comments and, you know, I'm by the golf course. It's like, aside from those like moments of lapses of like reality, I think one of the things about this book that surprised me so much is Paris actually, she's not even just like faking this righteous moment to like actually preach. It's like, no, she's like a really like strong person and Pink would, if I was Pink and I read that and Paris is still being, kill him with kindness, like Paris still being so gracious and saying, I do love her and I respect her, but at this time, my feelings were hurt when I was a teenager and you assaulted me after I was assaulted.
Under the guise of female empowerment.
Yeah, man. Like I would be so fucking ashamed. Like, wow, Paris might actually in the end be a good mom.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be a good mom. I think she's really matured a lot. Like, yeah. I think she's definitely been mean to people in the past. I mean, we've seen it on tape, but like, I also think that, you know, when we get later into the Simple Life part of the book, she talks about how it was really important for her and Nicole never to like talk down to the people around them and never to treat them like they were stupid hicks. And it's like, oh damn, actually that really was part of the secret sauce of the show. And like,
right,
that was
right. Yes.
Really smart of them and really like kind of them to not be that way, even though everyone assumed that's what they were doing and that's what they were there for, but they really weren't like that. So like, I do think like, yeah,
she's not a bad person.
Well, that I don't know. I don't know, but
I don't think she is. I think, you know, everybody is assigned to like work within what they got, like as a context and, you know, and then you learn and grow. But
I just don't want to say who's good or bad. I just, because I know that
sure.
She's done some shitty things to people and hurt people's feelings.
But like that also is part of humans. Like everybody. So have I. So have you. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know? But, so it's like, but we're good people. We're not bad people because of it. As long as you learn, it's okay. You know, I think it's normal for, I just think, I guess I'm really impressed with her heart. I mean, I don't know. She seems to have heart.
Yeah, for sure. And she like, I guess what's coming across to me is like, she knows who she can get away with being a dick to and who she needs to be nice to. And
right.
So it's kind of like, okay, no harm, no foul. Like you had some beef with Lindsay Lohan and you laughed while someone called her a fire crotch. That was really hurtful to me as a person of red haired experience.
Okay. Like, another little intimate
that's fucking share. Mean. That's mean as shit. That is so mean.
Well, it's also just like, inappropriate. Like to especially that's so, the whole
come
thing.
Come on,
right?
Sarah, that's mean.
It's mean because to me, it's not mean. I don't know. I love red hair, but like
to call someone a fire crotch isn't mean. Come on.
Well, I think it's mean because you shouldn't be commenting on anyone's pubes ever.
Exactly.
Right. But then to me, it's like, that's why it's mean. Not because of red hair descent, but because it's like, as a friend, you should say like, that's weird. If somebody says something about anybody's pube, you say, ew, man, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's but it. Like she was, I mean, that didn't help her either. Like she really kind of helped build a terrible image for herself by sitting by partaking in these terrible feuds that were really, really nasty and mean spirited. And like she said, Kim Kardashian's butt looked like a trash bag full of cottage cheese in a radio interview. Like
just not nice. It's not nice.
Ass shit. I mean, that's the not big nice. Kathy streak that runs through all of them, right. You know?
Well, so, and I would love to overhear like the conversations that Big Kathy and Paris secretly had, like, that she's not putting in the book. I mean, they were probably they probably had a ball together, just fucking ripping everybody to shreds.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. Like it's, I just want to say Paris Hilton was very nice. Like I said, very nice to me when I interviewed her, like so one of the nicest celebrities I've ever met.
I love that.
She comes across as extremely nice and kind and like a beacon of strength in this book. But I just don't want to cloud anyone's judgment with like this multi-million-dollar PR machine that she has been right. Honing. For 30 years. Like we don't need to like worship at the altar of Paris.
No,
like,
no, definitely not.
You know what
not.
I mean? I just
definitely not. But I do think she's been, like, she has start. Been super, but she's been super victimized, like just kid stuff. And like, I do think that, I don't know. I liked her after reading this.
Me too. 100%.
I thought, wow, I just don't you're like cool. To, like you're a cool person.
Yeah. I just don't like to worship any.
No. The only person I worship is Molly Malshine and Sarah Armour and the Space Trash listeners. I worship Absolutely. Y'all.
And Oprah, that's the only one that I really will fuck with to that level.
Even Oprah, because... what's with the schools in Rwanda?
That was an accident. She didn't mean
okay,
to.
As long as you say know. It, Molly's the news, I trust you, we can move on. Then that's all I need to know. Then I forgive her and I worship her.
Okay, cool. So now we get into something that caused.
Also, though, side note, another Aquarius.
Oh, yeah. Another Aquarius.
They have that Aquarian larger than life power.
Yeah. So, okay. Something that made Kathy Hilton and Kyle Richards and Kim Richards, Kathy and Kim didn't speak to Kyle for a very long time, allegedly because of this, the series American Woman that Kyle produced with Alicia Silverstone playing a character based on Big Kathy, Graham Cracker, what Paris Hilton calls in her book. So when this was a huge issue in their family because Kathy and Kim allegedly did not want any light shined on their mother. And I think it's because of the House of Hilton book. And I think it's because they were just like, no, close the book on this. Like, we don't need any information or details about her coming out. Whereas Kyle was like, what's the big deal? Like, it's a very flattering portrayal, blah, blah, blah. So this was a huge issue. I mean, they like almost uninvited Kyle's entire family from Nikki's wedding to the Rothschild over this television show. And they did uninvite like half of them. Like only, I think in the end, only Kyle, Portia, and Farrah got to go or something. Like, they literally uninvited half of her family. Like,
I just can't even imagine living in a world where like anything would be that big of a deal. Like,
right.
You so know, imagine, like how sad, like,
yeah. So imagine
all those girls to just be enemies is like, oh, come on. Write a song about families that don't talk, if anything.
Yeah. Imagine my shock when Paris mentions the show in glowing terms.
Also highlighted. Yeah. I wanted to know what you thought.
In the series American Woman, produced by Aunt Kyle, Alicia Silverstone played a character based on my grandmother. There's a great scene where she challenges a guy who's messing with her daughter. Quote, you know, Jerry, I see you. You're just a dark, rainy storm cloud hovering over a beautiful tree, and you try to scare everyone with your thunder and your lightning. But you know what? My daughter can take anything you rain down on her because she's that tree. She's a goddamned redwood. So Paris liked it.
Is redwood equivalent to firecrotch?
No, come on.
It's not nice
to call people that.
It's not nice to call people anything. It's not nice to talk about anybody's pubes. It's not nice to fucking, it's gross. It's actually disgusting. The firecrotch are disgusting.
A whole generation of kids learned that insult because of Paris and
who
Brandon
was the one that said it? Oh, it was Brandon.
Brandon Davis.
Yeah.
Paris dated him, but he's actually her step cousin.
What?
Yeah. Kim Richards, two of her kids are of the Davis oil family.
Two of
Paris's first cousins are his first cousin.
That's a little bit too monarchy for me.
Yeah. So he is actually like her second cousin.
Wow. Yeah. So they really are the first US royalty.
Yeah, for real. But so, yeah, so she's got that. So, I mean, maybe they were uninvited from the Rothschild Hilton wedding for a completely different reason. And Kyle kind of used that as a doily to make it sound like that was the reason, because you know what else happened is Mauricio split from Rick Hilton's real estate empire and took all his clients with him to form the agency. Maybe that's the real reason they were uninvited and the reason why Mauricio specifically was not welcomed at the wedding. But like Kyle didn't want to taint his new agency on TV and she wanted free press for the show instead. So like, I don't know. You just never know.
I guess you just write, you pick and choose like what you're going to work with and what, you know, like, because like the actual goal is simply making money.
Right. Cause Kyle also, I mean, Kyle is someone who loves to, I don't want to say play the victim, but like,
well, sort of, she loves to be right. How about we say that? She loves to be like vindicated. She likes to come through with like, I'm the best.
And she's the one with the megaphone of a television show that she's been the main cog of for like over 10 years.
And like so bringing her family members through and just fighting with them publicly.
Right. And kind of acting like,
you're lucky I brought you here.
I'm the poor little sister. Like my older sisters are doing this, this, and this. And it's like, no, like Kyle, you're actually the most famous one now. Like obviously Kathy's always going to be the most respected one in society or whatever. But like, you're the one with a TV show where you get to say whatever the hell you want. Mm-hmm. And like, you have the power. So,
and you have it all. And like, you totally right. Your husband and the business that you guys live off of even before the show was one that was actually like stolen from your sister. And then you were using your other sister to like make yourself a hero. It's like, come on, Kyle, like, just like, just,
she plays
just
the underdog.
Calm down.
She plays the underdog, but she's building her entire legacy on the back of her sisters, which is completely fine. But like, maybe don't stoke discord with them in a public forum when you depend on them. You and your husband have at various times depended on them for income and livelihood. Like, wild. Anyway.
Uncool.
Her NFT. What did you think about all the NFT spawn con throughout it? I was like, oh, come on, Paris. Don't do this. Don't be a scammer.
Well, okay. I didn't think that.
I mean, NFTs are scams, right?
I don't know. The answer
don't
is
we all agree.
I don't know. And what I will say is that even before she brought up NFTs, from the beginning of this book, one of the, and it's very Aquarius, one of the things that she wants us to know about herself from the beginning is that she loves tech. And she's always loved tech, whether it's tech or techno. She, you know, she sees the future as digital. She loves the future as digital. And so I
don't. She leaves it to her ADHD.
Yes. And I don't think that the answer is, I don't know. Like, you know, you're talking to the kid of somebody who didn't totally buy that the stock market was like, you know, going full digital software either. So like, I don't know. Like, I'm confused about the currency clearly. And like, what is,
yeah. I mean, I think we don't need to get into,
I don't know if anybody knows anything about NFTs, we would like to know more, but yeah, I think her just jumping on board and selling shit, even when nobody knows really what it is a little bit like, what? Cause also, wasn't she just selling like monkey faces?
If you're going to buy any Paris Hilton product, don't start with the NFT.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Go with 3D. Let's stay 3D for now.
Yeah. Let's go perfume. Let's go book.
Because wasn't that what it was? It was the monkey. No,
that was a different thing. We don't need to get into
that. Yeah.
Okay. So boring.
I don't really know. I'm confused about NFTs.
Yeah. It's just interesting. She says it over and over again in the book. Like, she's really trying to make it happen. And yep,
because she's doing business.
Yeah, it's scammy. It's scammy. I don't like it. So she talks also about how she kind of thinks that her parents wanted her to sneak out a little bit on the modeling gigs, because she says she secretly did want us to do it, but she wanted us to own it. Conrad Hilton taught Papa and Papa taught Dad that it's dangerous when rich kids don't have enough dragons to slay. And I was like, okay, cool message. But also like, I mean, how cute that you got to have set up for you fake obstacles in life.
Yeah. I mean, I think she definitely has slayed some dragons. I do not think that that is untrue, but I don't think that your parents were like, go fuck it up so we can really get your kid. Like, I don't know if anybody, I think Nikki Hilton is a good example of what happens when you like just follow the rules.
Also, it's really funny because like the dragons to slay that she's talking about are like
self-created,
make her go to the modeling agency on her own, whereas right, like the dragons right. I had to slay was like, oh, you actually have to get a job at 14 or else right. you're not gonna have money right. to hang out with your friends, and like right. since you're literally 14, the only job that will take you is raking the beach, so like congratulations, you're a beach janitor now.
I love you being the beach raker. That's like, that so was my funny that's so fucking funny.
So it's like, okay, Paris, I'm so glad you had and yeah, like you said, she did have real obstacles come up later, and I totally feel for her with all the real shit she went through.
But those weren't them. Like going, like having to go to the modeling by yourself. Was it your parents making you cut your teeth? They were literally just trying to like protect their teenage daughter.
Yeah, exactly. This is another part where she comes across as a horrible brat, and like, I feel bad for thinking this, but she's in a school interview for like her fourth high school, cause she keeps getting kicked out. And they say, what did you like best about the school? I tried to sound breezy. Nothing. Well, what did you like best about your school in Palm Springs? Art, field hockey. I squirmed in the uncomfortable chair. Look, I don't want to go to the school, so I'm not trying to impress you. My mom would have slapped me if I said that to an adult. And then the person says, I see. And Paris says, this place sucks. I'd rather kill myself. I felt my mom's eyes drilling into me like lasers. And it's like, okay, Paris, I know that you think your mom was a real strict disciplinarian, but I'm actually going to have to disagree. Like,
well, that's it's a little bit like, I understand where Kathy Hilton at that point is like, literally, what the fuck are we going to do with her? She's been kicked out of multiple schools. She's now acting like such a fucking little asshole and embarrassing us. Like, it's not just that, like it would be one thing, even if she were to answer the question and say like, I'm just not sure, like, or I don't, school doesn't, they might've tested her for ADD and actually helped her. Like if she said, I've had trouble in school the whole time, as you know, it would have been one thing, but for her to be like, nothing. I had it.
I'd
but
also it's like
she's
myself.
But she's also just like a teenager, you know. It's like,
yeah, but even as a teenager, I knew not to speak to adults that way. Like,
well, the thing is, right, she clearly like on some level feels that she can get away. Like I do get where the parents were like just over the top, like, what the fuck are we gonna do? Because like, right, your kid seems to have no boundaries, no fear of authority. Is she was unruly. That's an unacceptable way for a teenager to act point blank.
Yeah. And like the sad thing is there is no way there. There's no good way to deal with that, I guess,
right.
You know,
yeah.
At least back then there wasn't. I mean, now I think you would definitely be getting tested for ADHD and things like that. But well, it's also funny because I completely forgot in House of Hilton, he really alleges that Kathy and Rick were pretty absentee parents.
Yeah.
And like, this kind of gives more credence to that because the way Paris tells it, they were real strict disciplinarians and had like the kids under lock and key. And in House of Hilton, he's like, oh no, he quotes a person who's like, no, they literally just dropped Paris with me one day and didn't show up again for 4 days.
Right.
And like, and it's like, I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle, but
yeah. I mean, and I get where, right, Paris's psychology also would have been one where like, right, it's not like, she knows she's being like bad girl and like disappointing in whatever way to her parents, but I also don't get the sense that, like, in the way that you're like, I have fear of my mother in me, it, she doesn't seem to feel that she has any sort of like real responsibility to like serve her like parents in any, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it seems like she was, I mean, look, if you can make out with your teacher in your driveway, there's no one home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And it's definitely, it's like just in general,
no one, you're not really being supervised, even if the expectation was made clear.
Yeah. It's sad. I mean,
she's rebellious. It's again, very Aquarius Leo. Like she took on rebellion as like a personality, which then really fucking bit her in the ass. And then I think ultimately it saved her, but like, she is like, no, a full moon Aquarius, full moon baby with a Sag rising. That is rebel yeah. energy.
And if her parents aren't around, there's no one setting rules. So she doesn't even have anything to rebel against, because according to Oppenheimer, according to House of Hilton, no one's raising her. So like, it kind of makes sense why it's like, oh, really? You guys moved to New York without me and didn't even tell me. And now all of a sudden I'm supposed to follow your rules. Like, it kind of makes sense why she's just like, this entire thing is a joke.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
But to speak to someone that way, this place sucks. I'd rather kill myself.
Too confident for a kid.
Not good.
Not nice.
Red flag. Yeah.
But that's okay. What's also, side note though, that's where any other human, if I was that teacher sitting across from her, I would then say to the parent, there's something really going on here. And we know that she's already been like assaulted multiple times at this point. She has undiagnosed ADHD that is very real to her. She actually, it's not that your school sucks. It's that she doesn't really have an easy time doing school. And I think I would get more curious.
Right.
Than
but
anything.
Don't you think the teacher probably did say that? And Kathy was like, fuck you.
Yeah,
my
probably.
Kid's perfect.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's not on the teacher, but it's like, it just seems like, yeah, that there was some real like missing pieces in like actually facilitating this child's like safety and development. And like, she ended up fine. She ended up okay. But like, it's like, yeah, like there really was a lack of listening, I think, on the adult.
Yeah. No
part.
One was, I mean, this is the worst type of parent you can be, is absentee,
yeah.
but still controlling.
Yeah. It's I mean, really confusing. And of course you would rebel.
Right. Like it's like, Kathy and Rick were controlling. They had very, very strict expectations of their kids, but they were not doing anything to make it clear to them how to achieve that, or like setting up expectations or anything. It was just like, do this or else. So like,
right.
Who can win? I mean, Nikki is the one in a million kid that actually thrived in that framework. And the other kids have all, like we said, you know, had run-ins with the law, which when you're that rich is pretty tough to do.
You know, it's interesting side note, you know, I mean, it literally is hard to be in as much trouble as Paris, but like, just real quick, a note on Nikki, part of why double Libra sun, Libra moon.
Oh, okay. So she's just like,
sure, whatever gets
me, I'll keep the peace.
Whatever makes me pretty, well-liked and keeps the peace and gets me like, keeps me in the beauty and the wealth and whatever, I'll play the game, especially in terms of relationships.
Yeah. So now I'm sorry. This has been like a little bit of a hate fest. I'm going to give her a compliment because she, hey. Like I said, knows where her bread is buttered.
Fair
she's
and balanced.
Nice. She's nice to the press. She said she felt safer knowing that the paparazzi would be outside the clubs waiting for her, trying to make her look over her shoulder and laugh, showing predators that I was seen and accounted for.
But that's such another example of exactly what you're saying, which is like the fact that you need the paparazzi to actually be like there for you speaks volumes about how supported and cared for she felt by the adults in her life.
Yeah. So true. So true. Oh, I loved her mom's little trick. If Paris had a napkin or something with someone's phone number on it, little Kathy would go in and change the 1 to a 7 or the 3 to an 8 so that she couldn't call. That was funny as shit. I like that.
I don't mind that. Yeah. That's a good tip. I'll take, that's a good tip.
Good mom tactic.
Yeah. I like that. Sure. If you're going to snoop, and like adjust anything that you find in the crime scenes that you're not supposed to be in, at least do it for the sake of protection.
Yeah. She also says like, she wonders if she had been diagnosed with ADHD earlier, like how it would have affected her life. And she says, It doesn't authorize you to churn your family inside out or endanger yourself. And I'm not offering it as an excuse, but I wonder like how it would be different. So this has been the first part of our coverage of Paris Hilton's memoir. Keep listening because we've still got 2, 3, and 4 parts. Probably this book, we can't stop talking about this book. So there's going to be more episodes.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Join the Patreon.
Patreon.com/Space Trash Podcast.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.